Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hi there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly have got hopefully all the winners, certainly all the wise angles on 8 ITV races on Saturday. Loads more action taking place in Britain and Ireland over the weekend and a really red hot Group 1 at Longchamp on Sunday, the pre-Moulin. We will kick on then with 4 races on ITV at Haydock, starting with the 150, the Garswood Handicap over 1.6 miles, soft ground, so it's going to take some getting. Niall, how do Paddy Power bet on this one?
The line is our 5-2 favourite, Calculation is 5-1, Elysian Flame 5-1, Moon King 11-2, Alamana 8-1, Ranch Hand 10-1, Trushan 10-1 and 12-1 bar.
We have to start with G-Rod, who was in absolutely sensational form on the postcast last week. Well done, my friend. A 25-1 banger. That was absolutely brilliant, wasn't it? I hope you won loads of money.
Barry Morrill's won on Sunday, Light of Air at Brighton. You know, when everything starts going in, you know, they just keep going in. So that was fantastic. Let's hope it continues.
What about the 25-1 shot? How much did you have on?
Well, sadly, I was at West Ham's game, and that was a 3 o'clock kickoff there, and kind of got a bit carried away after the game, having a few pints with friends, and completely forgot that it was running. Until, of course, I opened up Twitter in a drunken state about 9:30 and realised I had about 10 notifications saying, well done, what a winner. So, I had big fat nothing on it, sadly. But I did have a winning day, having backed quite a few of those winners earlier on in the afternoon.
Good man. Well, keep it going. Let's kick off with the winner in the 150.
The 150 at Haydock. I'm going to go to Trushan for Alan King, probably one of the better bets on the card, I thought. Andrea at Zenny is an interesting jockey booking for King. I really like that. Zenny, one of the best out there. This one's beaten the same horses the last two starts, once at Wolverhampton and then at Foss Lass last time out. I think Caravan of Hope was the horse that he keeps beating. But last time out, he did it easier than he had done at Wolverhampton, giving him more weight. The time was really, really good. He looks like he will stay well. He's sire planter, gets plenty of winners on soft ground, so I don't see the testing conditions being an issue. And I think he's a rapidly improving type, Trushan.
DJ, are you confident about this weekend? You're going to be tipping loads of winners for us?
Yeah, I love the race on Saturday, yeah. To a couple of cracking cards. I love when the really good race courses have meetings like Ascot, Haydock. I love when the top meetings have fixtures. I can see where Graham is coming from here with Trushan. I think it's got a chance. But the one I like is Calculation here for Sir Michael Stout. This is a son of Dubawi and Estimate, of course, who won the Gold Cup for the Queen. And just think the visor has turned this horse inside out. Like, it's hard to believe he was beaten off a market 69. A poor all-weather handicap, and he was beaten off a mark of 69, and now he's running off 91. The visor seems to have turned him inside out, travelling with more zest. He's gone up £7 for winning a challenge for the last time, but won by 6 lengths, won quite convincingly. And I think my calculations, excuse the pun, Sir Michael Stout has won 7 of his last 10 runners in 3-year-old handicaps. I think 7 of them have won. So I think he's got a load of really well handicapped 3-year-olds because they started the season slowly. And I think Calculation is one of them. And I think Calculation will make it 4 in a row.
Lovely stuff. Niall, what is your opening tip of the postcast going to be?
It's Elysian Flame here for me. He bolted up at Hamilton last week. And I actually think that was a really deep race for Hamilton standards. It was a good field, some well handicapped horse in there. He won so easily, he won by about 3.5 lengths. Maybe he's £8 higher here. But again, the soft ground and the fact he's won at Haydock before are both massive positives for me. Even if you go back to 2 runs ago, he looks like he was disappointed at Pontefract, but he got no run whatsoever. He's really well back that day. There's plenty to like about him here. Like, first in line, I thought got everyone his own way in the Melrose and still couldn't win. He wouldn't be one for me at that type of price. So yeah, the Elysian Flame for me.
Okay, we're off and running. The 225 at Haydock is the Unibet Mile, registered as the Superior Mile, you'll know it as. It's a Group 3 and it's over 1 mile. And Niall, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
Sharjah Bridge is our 5-2 favourite. Miss O'Connor is 11-4. Here Comes When is 5-1. Raising Sand 7-1. Wraithcott 7-1. Matterhorn 8-1. Walking the Sand 10-1. And What's the Story is 14-1.
Sharjah Bridge, DJ, an old friend.
Yeah, one of the good ones. Yeah, a little bit disappointing last couple of starts. I don't think there'll ever be a day like that day at Ascot. That was fantastic. But I think Paddy Power are wise to something here. There was some 10s and 12s about here comes when. I think yesterday, and I still think there might be a bit of 10 still available, but they're only 5s. I can't understand why it was such a big price all week, especially with the weather forecast. Won the race last year. Is the race any better this year? I'm not so sure. Like Regal Reality and Treading were in the race last year. Was well backed into 3-1 that day on heavy ground. I'd imagine that Andrew Balding has just laid Here Comes When out for an autumn campaign. Has only been seen once this season. Handles the ground, loves the track. Andrew Balding has had 9 winners in the last fortnight. To me, Here Comes When ticks an awful lot of boxes here. I think he's going to be hard to beat.
Niall, is that you, the person at Paddy Power that's keeping Here Comes When so short?
Yeah, a little bit. And it's just the ground more than anything. He obviously loves and he won the race last year. The tens would look too big to me as well. He's actually not the one that I'm going to be putting up. The one I like is Great Scott here for Tom Dascombe. Now, he won here as a two-year-old. Sorry, he won twice here as a two-year-old, including at this meeting last year. I think he can do so again here. He hasn't shown his best form this season, bar a good run in the green and behind Uhather, I think it was. So he's been running over unsuitable trips. And I think this mile is just exactly what he needs. He actually ran over my last time at Salisbury and he ran okay. He was beaten a length, but it was a step back in the right direction. Charger Bridge isn't a horse I trust myself at all. He's probably a little bit short at the front of the market there. Miss O'Connor is interesting, but needs to improve plenty in that last run. So yeah, it's a great spot for me.
Does Miss O'Connor have to improve that much? That was quite a hot race, that.
I think so, yeah. It wasn't a brilliant time or anything like that either. So yeah, I think she needs to improve.
The lads are shunning Charger. Are you going to as well, G-Rod?
I am, yeah. And I agree with DJ. Yeah, Here Comes When. Last year's winner. Did it very well last year on testing ground and got exactly the same conditions this year. I don't see this being any sort of issue for him at all. I mean, he has won a Group 1 in the past.
Don't even mention that. I still can't get over it. I had such a big bet on Ribchester.
Yeah, how he won that race, we'll go down as one of the great mysteries, won't it? But, he is a Group 1 winner. He's got plenty of class and he has been having to carry penalties as a result of some of his previous wins, particularly first time up this season when he contested the Brigadier Gerard, and he almost certainly would have been in need of the run. And he was trying to give £3 to the winner, Regal Reality, who was quite a smart type, and the runner-up, Matterhorn, who's back in opposition here. I think if there was quicker ground here, Matterhorn would actually be a player. But Here Comes When is £3 better off with Matterhorn and conditions in his favour. And he's a bigger price, so Here Comes When for me.
Do you think now that it's rained, Matterhorn's got a mountain to climb? We move on. 3:35, it's the Old Borough Cup, another stamina test over a mile and 6. Niall, give us a show and then give us your idea of the winner.
So Rishun is our 4-1 favourite. Corelli is 11-2. All Right Sunshine, 7-1. Garbanzo, 8-1. Blakeney Point 9-1, Time to Study 9-1, Melting Dew 10-1 and 14-1 bar. The one I quite like, he's heading the market here, is Rishun. He won this last year very easily and he's just got a massive chance of winning again. He won it off 90 last year. He's about £3 higher this year than he's off 93. He ran an absolute cracker in the November handicap last year. It's actually worth watching the race back to see how well he ran. That was off £1 higher, so he definitely looks well treated to me. His trainer trains 3 in the race who all look to have chances. I think the fact Jim Crowley's on this one would suggest this has obviously definitely got the best chance. It would just make a lot of sense that they would have targeted this race and then go November handicap again. So I think it's been a long-term type of plan. Yeah, I think he'd take a lot of beating here.
Okay, G-Rod, who's your fancy?
Blakeney Point for me. Another
one. You've been spent to Paul Keighley?
Alan King. Why? Is he tipped this one?
I played golf with him at the start of the week. He said, you must back Blakeney Point.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Well, I suppose that's a positive, really, isn't it? Given Keels, he's a fair judge, I suppose. Absolutely loves a bit of cutting the grounds, got some good course form, and I thought ran very well last time at York, over 2 miles behind Illystone Rock. Now, that trip definitely stretches him. Most of his best form is actually a mile and a half, although he has won over 2. I think a mile and 6 might well be ideal at this stage of his career. My only slight concern is that last time at York, he did hang to the left quite badly in the closing stages. And I don't think you're going to want to be on the far side at Haydock if the ground's setting. They usually race sort of middle to stern side. So I hope that he doesn't end up, you know, hanging all his chance away to the far side rail. But I suppose that's a chance you just have to take with him. He's a big enough price and he's on the way back and he's well handicapped.
He also says he's got amazing September form as well.
So I had no idea about that, yeah.
There you go. Okay, DJ, who's your selection?
Oh, I've got it here. I'm going to try and show you my notes. I don't know if you can see them there.
Thunder stolen.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this. And I thought you might come to me first, but you came to me first in the last race. This is possibly my strongest fancy of the day, Blakely Point. Yeah, look, started the season off 105, down to 99 now. Like, it was a big price for that Sky Bet handicap at York last time. Traded a low of 11-4 and running. Just, I don't know if it was more a case of hanging or just caught on the wrong part of the track. Had to make its ground up on the far side. Was away from all the traffic and away from all the action. I thought it was going to win a furlong out. Wasn't beaten that far. That September form, 5 of his 7 wins have been in September. And if you look at him, like, he's even won around this date as well. He's won on the 3rd of September, he's won on the 10th of September, he's won on the 15th of September. His last two wins have been on soft ground. 1 mile 6, Haydock, soft ground. I think is absolutely perfect for Blakely Point. James Doyle takes over in the saddle. To me, I'd have him very close to favourite. I think he's going to be seriously hard to beat.
Lovely. Excellent. Two very strong votes for Blakely Point. Right then, the highlight of the Haydock card takes place at 4:10. It's the Betfair Sprint Cup. Over 6 furlongs, we've lost 2 of the big bill toppers here in 10 sovereigns, and this morning advertisers come out as well. So in terms of quality, I'm afraid it's slightly diminished, but it's very competitive. Niall, give us the latest betting.
So Kadem now hits their market at 5-2. Dream of Dreams is 7-2. Hello Humes in 11-2. Fairyland 7-1. Brando 8-1. The Tin Man 10-1. Wildpath 10-1. Invincible Army 12-1. Soul Perfect 16. Forever in the Dreams is 28-1. And sorry, Major Jumbo 50-1.
Okay, we're not going to pretend it's the greatest run in this race ever, but a winner is a winner and it's competitive, like I say. So G-Rod, who's going to pass the post in front?
I'm going to back the German horse, Waldfap, or Waldfad, or whatever it's called.
Well, what is it called?
It's called Wald P. Fad for D. Moser. No idea of his first name either. But I do like Andrea Zeni, as I've already said. He gave it a cracking ride to win at Newbury on soft ground a couple of starts ago when he handed an absolute freshing to Cardim, who is favourite for this race. And Waldfat is now 4 times the price of Cardem after Cardem's win in the Stewards' Cup. Now, of course, Cardem was given a lot to do that day. He came from right at the back of the field. He found trouble in running. There's lots of arguments to suggest he should have finished closer to the selection. But that's done in by the fact that there's a big weight pull. I think he was giving him £8 at Newbury, Waldfat, and now he's only given him £2. So he's £6 better off, despite the fact that he thrashed him. I don't understand the huge disparity in price. It can only be due to the fact that Waldfad was second last time out in Germany, behind a horse called Royal Intervention, who's trained by Ed Walker. But I don't think that was a bad run at all. The ground was described as good, I think, so I'm convinced he wants it softer. And Royal Intervention's got some fairly strong form in Britain anyway, having run well at York, and then he didn't stay behind Bilsenbrook in that race at Goodwood. So I think the Royal Intervention might well have been a player in this race if that had turned up here anyway. So with the conditions going to be really testing, I'm going to back Ward P. Fad.
Ward Fad, we'll call him.
I prefer Ward P. Fad.
Well, yeah, but if you try and have a bet,
I don't think anyone will.
No one's going to understand you, are they?
No.
No, Ward Fad. DJ, who's your selection?
I fancied Hello Hume Zane before 10 Sovereigns had advertised came out of the race, so obviously I'm even sweeter on him now. Just love his profile. Obviously, when he was third in the Commonwealth Cup at Ascot, he completely missed a break. I thought he ran a cracker that day. He was only beaten a length and a half by Advertise. And such a clever, shrewd decision by Kevin Ryan to say, no, we're going to miss the next 2 months. and we're going to aim them at the Sprint Cup, and then we're going to go on to the Champion Sprint at Ascot, because the likelihood is there's going to be cut in the ground. And I just think he's a horse that's more than capable of handling this ground. Like, he won at Maze on the feet on his final start last season on really soft ground, came back this season, and that Sandy Lane performance, I know Calix wasn't right that day, but the way he travelled and the way he quickened on this sort of at Haydock, he posted an RPR of 114 that day, an RPR of 113 in the Commonwealth Cup. To me, I think we're only going to see the best from him now that there's cut in the ground. I think he could win both of these races. And I can't wait to see Helen Hume's in. James Doyle taking over is obviously a plus as well. To me, he ticks so many boxes.
And Niall.
This is actually my strongest fancy of the weekend. I've been chipping away Kadem for a while. I was going to go in again at the price before the other two came out, but I'll still probably back him if I get a decent price tomorrow. I was just blown away by his performance in the Stewards' Cup. The time was awesome as well. It was by far the fastest 6 furlongs run that week, which you'd kind of expect. I think he improved by 15 pounds on that, so I'd be amazed if Wallpath, I know there's a weight swing, but if Kadem doesn't improve past Wallpath from what we've seen in the Stewards' Cup, I don't know. I can see the angle for value, but I really think he'll beat him here. He's had one bad run. It was in the Commonwealth Cup, where I didn't think he handled the ground. It's interesting, Dark Angels, he's by Dark Angel. They have an absolutely terrible record on the sand-based surface at Ascot, so I don't think he handled the track. It's a feasible excuse for me. He then ran a really good race, as I said earlier, behind Wildpath. Probably should have beaten him when you have a look at sectionals. He then improved in the Stewards' Cup, as I said. But even if you go back to his early days, he was beaten by Kadem on debut. And if you watch that race back, he was keen for about 5 furlongs, so he did remarkably well to get as close as he did, I think. Well, it's 11 lengths, but he still ran a cracking race. He won his next two, so he's the only one in this race that I think could potentially be a superstar. It's obviously weaker now with the two horses gone, so yeah, I can't see him getting beat there. I think we could actually see a special performance.
Oh, you've all made very strong cases. I'm confused. Right, then we've got 4 more ITV races, and we'll do those next.
So, does an each-way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. 1 per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway, David Jennings and Paddy Power's Niall O'Reilly. 2 races at Kempton. The first of them is the 205. Last year wasn't a bad renewal, was it? Some filly called Enable beat Crystal Ocean. I don't think we've got anything quite of that calibre, but it's an interesting affair. Over 1.5 miles on the Polytrack. Niall, what's the latest betting?
So Best Solutions are 15-8 favourite. And this is actually a money back special race. So it's money back second to the Best Solution. If Best Solution wins the race up to a tenner. Muta Sadir is our 4-1 second favourite. Royal Line 6-1. Sun Maiden 7-1. Gibbs Hill 8-1. Pivoine 9-1. And 11-1 bear.
And just to reiterate what Niall said there, 205 Kempton bet up to a tenner. And if the Fav wins and you back something else, you get your money back. That's available at paddypower.com or on the Racing Post app. And David Jennings, you can start off by telling us who's going to win.
Well, I spent all summer telling anybody that would listen that Royal Line would win the Ebor and constantly chipped away at a Manti Post. I think I told you in one of these podcasts in the lead up to the race, maybe 2 or 3 weeks before, and to get on Royal Line for the Ebor. The rain didn't come. It was quick ground, so he didn't run, which was obviously infuriating. Interesting to see him showing up here. To me, I think he has the potential to turn into a Group 1 stayer. I think he's that good when he gets his conditions. I do think he needs cut in the ground. I think he's very, very, very good. And I think there's a couple of form lines that makes me think so. He's only had basically one run since last season. That came at Sandown when he ran against Ellercombe in that Mile 2 race. That was in early July. So he's been kept correct for an autumn campaign. I'd imagine there's a couple of different big handicaps in John Gosden's mind. Like, he's only rated 111. I think he's better than that. I just think he needs cut in the ground. For this race here, I obviously wouldn't be as sweet on him as I would have been for the Ebor if there was cut in the ground, because this is a good race. Best Solutions rate 121. Muta Sadir has already shown his love for the all-weather. You know, Gibbs Hill is a good horse on his day. Sun Maiden is decent too. So it's a good race. But for me, it'll be a watch and brief with Royal Line. And I do hope he'll win, because I think he's a very, very good horse.
Won't that sicken you if you don't watch him and he wins?
Yeah, I just don't know. I know what you mean. Like, I just think, like, when you've been building yourself up for something for so long, and then he's running on the all weather instead of in a big handicap with cutting the ground. It's just a completely different set of terms and conditions. I do think he's a very good horse, so I potentially might back him. But yeah, just as regards future assignments, I'd be keeping an eye on Royal Line.
Niall, what's your view on this one?
Yeah, I quite like Muta Sadir here. Like, it's a tricky race, but he's 2 from 2 from Kempton. He won the Magnolia Stakes a couple of months ago, conceding weight all round. It was the race that Matterhorn went off much too hard. It's interesting that Muta Sadir was the only one that kind of chased the front two. It was Matterhorn and I can't remember the name of the second. And he was the only one to kind of stick it out from the front end. Everything else was closing late because they went so hard. His ideal trip is probably 12 furlongs, which he gets here. Obviously tried to make him stay in the Northumberland Plate, which failed. He ran poorly in the end. But I'd be shocked if they haven't targeted this race, given the Kempton form. Best solution is off a break. Royal Line has never run in the all-weather, as DJ said. So, yeah, it would make me quite confident on Muta Sadir here. So, yeah, he's the bet for me.
You confident, G-Rod?
No, I didn't like the look of this race at all. It was a very, very, very tricky race. Obviously, Best Solution won the Caulfield Cup. Is the best horse in the race, but he's coming off a long break. And they're bound to be prepping him back up for a return trip to Australia. I think Royal Line is potentially the best horse in the race. I echo what DJ said, but again, he's coming off a break and he's never run on the all-weather. Mutasad is coming off the run, back of two really poor runs. I couldn't have him. And I thought that Prince of Arran might run well at a big price for Charlie Fellows. Ran better than his finishing position suggests last time in the Ebor. Probably wants a little bit further than this, ideally. But he's got plenty of form over a mile and a half at Kempton, albeit in a lot lower grade. He's won 3 times over course and distance. So he could run well at big price, Prince of Arran.
But you're not supremely confident here.
Oh, no. It's a really tough race. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if any of the top 6-1 apart from Niall's selection, Muta Sadir. So I suppose that will be the one that wins now.
God, blimey, no need for that, was there? Oh, Niall. The only one to put up a selection, you two bottle jobs, and you go and pour a bucket of cold water over it. Right, the other race at Kempton in front of the ITV cameras is the 3:15. It's the final of the London Mile Handicap Series, sponsored by Sun Racing. It's over a mile, would you believe? And Paddy Power bet as follows.
Yeah, I'm just planning on double down on Muta Sadir after that comment.
Oh, yeah, quiet.
Kua Currency is our 4-1 favourite. Matawij 9-2. Kazban 5-1. Gosping 6-1. Felix the Poet 7-1. Kingslipper 8-1. Free Rolling 12-1. Arigato 12-1. Mayfair Spirit 12-1. Directory is 14-1. And Family Fortune's 20.
Blimey, this doesn't seem easy. No, you can go first.
Yeah, this is the race that I spent by far the least time on. The one I came down on was Kingslipper for Clive Cox and Hector Crouch. He ran poorly, but it was on turf last time. He was beaten about 2.5 lengths by Power of Darkness at Salisbury. All his previous best form was at Kempton, so that obviously bodes well for this race. Like, it's hard to really recommend because he's off a high enough mark, but the fact he's got such good Kempton form, I'm just going to side with him at the price. It's not a really strong fancy, though, I'll be honest.
Graham, have you got a strong fancy?
Yeah, I thought this was really straightforward. Gossiping for Gary Moore. This one is rated 95 on turf and 88 on the all-weather, but it's a 3-time winner over course and distance at Kempton, and it loves the course. There's absolutely no way in my mind that this horse is a worse horse on the all-weather than he is on turf, yet the handicappers have got him rated £7 lower here than he would be running in off on turf. So for me, he is £7 well in automatically. He's been in fantastic form all season. He ran a cracking time when he won at Epsom. Earlier in the season and at the Derby meeting. And if he turns up on any sort of form like that, they ain't going to see which way he goes. He's got a good drawing stall too. Thomas Greatrix is claiming another £5. I mean, this is a really, really well-handicapped horse. Gary Moore probably can't believe his luck that he has got this horse in off of 88 when he's rated 95 on turf, because for me, he is the same horse on both surfaces.
OK, Gossiping, very confident selection for G-Rod. DJ, are you deigning to put one up here?
Yeah, I like King Slipper, a little bit more confident than Niall. Was only 8th in the race last year, but it was a much better renewal last year and didn't get much luck in running, I didn't think, last year at all. Was trapped in the wrong position. Has won twice at Kempton. And I wouldn't read too much into that recent run at Salisbury because he missed a break. And just in the final furlong, they were all in a bit of a heap. Power of Darkness, who's won since on Chergar Cup Day, kind of swooped down the outside. And a lot of them on the inside got into trouble. So I thought Kingslipper didn't run that badly. And I'd imagine that this race has been in Clive Cox's mind for for quite a while. He'd a winner during the week as well. His team seemed to be in good form. And I'd imagine King Slipper will be banged there. But in fairness to Graham, he's made a very good case for gossiping.
Absolutely. Let's move on to Ascot, the 245, the Cunard handicap over 7 furlongs. Very competitive race. Niall, take it away.
So we're playing 5 places here. Rip Orphans are 11-2 favourite. Pogo 7-1. Banar 7-1. Spanish City 8-1. Tabarak 10-1. Escobar 10-1. Ventura Ocean 10-1. Briansky 10-1. And 11-1 bar.
There's a lot of old friends reacquainting up at 7 furlongs straight at Ascot. G Rod, who is going to come out victorious?
Tabarak for me, the top weight, number one. Was unlucky last time out at Goodwood behind Salute the Soldier. He was travelling really, really well in that race. I just couldn't get a run. Typical Goodwood, you know, he had to wait and wait and wait. And when the gap eventually came, he flew home and he was getting up near the line, but the line just came in time for Salute the Soldier and a little bit too early for Tabarak. So I think he was unlucky not to win that day. This also got really good form at Ascot. He's won over 7 furlongs there. He's won over a mile at the track. He loves it there. He's got a touch of class. I think Tabarak can lay on this one.
Who's your fancy, David Jennings?
I have utterly convinced myself that Spanish City is going to win this, Bruce. Roger Varian actually had Kate Byron in this race last year, who should have been a certainty but was beaten by Rip Off. But Spanish City to me is a kind of a similar type. Virgin and has the potential to step up the stakes company. And I just think things haven't gone right for Spanish City. The key thing here is that he's managed to book Marco Gianni, who I think is an absolute steal for £7. I think he's really stylish, real, real good rider. I think he could make it to the very, very top. And that £7 is just fantastic. It's like Kieran Fallon's claim. And I just think with Spanish City, if you go back to the run at Newmarket in July, was beaten just over a length by Vela Kent when the gaps didn't open. And the key thing was, like, forget about the run against Kadem in the Stewart's Cup, because that was over 6. I think he basically needs 7. He's a strong traveller over 7 that needs gaps to open. And I was shocked that he won last time a 4-runner race at Yarmouth, because I didn't think 4-runner small field at a track like Yarmouth would suit. But I just think that win might just give him a bit of confidence. Cheek piece around for the first time here. Nicely drawn. Jockey is a bonus. We'll get a fast pace to chase. And I think the stars have finally aligned for Spanish City.
Do you know where Spanish City is, DJ?
No, I'd be guessing, no.
It's in Whitley Bay near Newcastle. It's a sort of function suite. It features in a Dire Straits song. Who are we next? Niall, it's your turn, isn't it? You need to have a crack at this one, don't you?
Yeah, I think I could have the winner of this. Sanad has been a horse I've been following for a while since he recorded a very fast time at Kempton for the grade. I think he finally has everything in his favour here. He wants fast ground and 7 furlongs, which he obviously gets here. And the fact he's so much all-weather form obviously bodes well for Ascot suiting. He ran a very eye-catching race at Goodwood last time. He was never actually put in the race, but I think it was Robert Havlin rode him. He was never put in the race at all until really late, and he's still only beaten a length and a half behind Salute the Soldier. Looking at sectionals, he should have been a lot closer as well, because he wasn't ideally placed. And Nicky McKay takes over here, and I'm confident this race will set up really well for him. He's back on 92. He won that Kempton race a few starts ago off 91, so I definitely think he's on a good mark. He's about 12-1. I think he's worth an each way bet.
Sanad. Okay, right then. And finally, 355, the Lavazza Stakes, 1.5 handicap. How do Paddy Power bet on this one, Niall?
So Cirque Royale is our 100-30 favourite. Phalak 7-2, Bassam 5-1, Apparat 8-1. I'll have another 12-1, Capron Say 14-1, Travelon 14-1, Never Do Nothing 14-1, 14-1 back.
DJ, whenever we come to you first, I hope you say, I'm glad you came to me first because I really fancy you and I didn't want my thunder stolen by anyone else. Is that the case here?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm thrilled you came to me first because I'm going to take a chance on one of the huge prize here. I was hoping all week that Cap Francais had run, and I'm delighted that he has. Now, he's a bit of a shit in that he's just a little bit unpredictable, but he's been gelded. He ran an absolute shocker at Goodwood last time when I thought he'd run better than he did. And the time before that at Ascot, he didn't travel with his usual fluency. But the key thing is, he has been gelded. And this is his first run since he's been gelded. And if you go back to that Lingfield Derby trial, when he was strongly fancied to beat Anthony Van Dyke, he finished fourth, wasn't beaten that far. He travelled like an absolute dream that day. And to me, it looked like he was much better than a handicapper. I thought he was a proper group performer. He's back down to a mark of 100, so he's been rapidly dropping down the handicap. I'm sure at the start of the season, Ed Walker might have thought that he had a Derby horse, never mind a horse running in a handicap off 100 at Ascot in September. I think there's plenty in his favour here. He's nicely drawn in the middle of the pack. He did run well at Royal Ascot, I thought, for a long way as well. So, yeah, there's a bit of 20s out there about Cap Français. I think the fact that he's gelded is massive.
How would you feel if you owned a racehorse and someone on a podcast described him in the way you just described Cap Français?
No, I kind of meant it in a complimentary term. Like I said, he's a little bit of a shit in that. When I say that, it's an Irish-ism. Basically means just a little bit unpredictable. But if Ed, if you're listening, I'm a big fan of the horse and I really, really hope he wins this race.
Okie doke. I think he dug his way out of the trouble there, didn't he? Niall, who do you fancy?
This race is very tricky. I've actually come down to 25-1 shot. It's a Holy Kingdom for Tom Clover. He's the one I'm going for. Now, he might be outclassed here, but he's essentially running off 77 with a good claim or Tor Hammer Hansen taking off 5. I think this race could really suit. He disappointed last time at Newmarket, though. He raced against a track bias that day, so I'm willing to forgive him that. Prior to that, he recorded a very good time when he was second to a horse called Gravitas that was really well handicapped for Mark Johnson, who actually hasn't run since. He's drawing high here, which is actually an advantage at Ascot. Anything drawn, like I think Stall 1 has a really terrible record over this trip. I think Failax in Stall 1, you don't really want to be drawing low over this trip at Ascot, so high's the place to be, and that's where he is. He hasn't had many career runs to date, and he's quite unexposed over this type of trip, so I think he's working each way better at the prices. The other one I strongly considered was Cap Français, because I really fancy him with Goodwin and backed him there, but I just couldn't see anything in that run. If he wins and I don't have a save run, I see that, but yeah, I'm not 100% sure that's going to make a huge, it could do. It's just, there's not enough for me to have a decent bet on him. I will have a small saver, but yeah, the main bet is Holy Kingdom each way, 25.
To be fair, the quality of DJ's writing improved when he was gelded, so it does work. Graham, the lads have gone for massive prices. What are you going to do?
Don't waste your time back in those big prices, because the favourite will win this race. Cirque Royale for Charlie Appleby. This is a group horse in a handicap, but there probably are about four or five potential group horses in this handicap, because it's always a hot race every single year. But this one absolutely bolted up at Lingfield last time out on the all-weather, winning by 7 lengths and could have won by a lot further. The handicapper has just had a guess, basically. I've no idea how good he is to stick him in on 96. Well, I reckon he's at least 110. So if he's 110, he'll bolt up. I think Cirque Royale will win this.
Excellent. Right then. Okay, let's see what the lads fancy elsewhere. We've got the other non-TV races at Ascot and Haydock and Kempton as well. They're racing at Thirsk, they're racing at Stratford, Wolverhampton, Navan and Wexford. DJ, how many have you got in your roundup?
Oh, I didn't think you were going to come to me first. Just 3.
Go on then.
3. 3. Okay, in the 3 o'clock at Haydock, it's a listed race over a mile. I think He's a Keeper could win this for Tom Dascombe and Richard Kingscote. And it gives me another chance to spout about that unbelievable Richard Kingscote stat at Haydock. I think if you backed every single one of Richard Kingscote's rides at Haydock, I think you would be, he's plus almost £80 in profit for every single one of his rides, which is like 600 and something rides. Like his record at Haydock is absolutely phenomenal. But I thought this He's a Keeper was seriously impressive last time. It was just beaten on debut. Looked a horse with loads of potential on debut and just seemed to have learned plenty from that experience. Both runs have been at Haydock, seemed to love the step up to a mile on soft ground last time. Posted an RPR of 85, which leaves him with a bit of improvement to find. But I think soft ground and a mile at Haydock, when horses prove that they can cope with that, I think it's huge. One other one at Haydock later on in the... I'll just get the time of the race now. I'm going to chance, it was a non-runner when I put it up on the podcast 2 weeks ago. I'm going to chance Broken Spear in the 4:45, who I still think has a race like this when there's a little bit of cut in the ground. I think he's a bit better than he's shown in his last couple of starts on quick ground. And one other one that's going to be a big price in the final race at Ascot, the 5:05. This Cody time is right down to a mark of 84 now for Clive Cox and Hector Crouch. Travels really well in his races, just needs so much to go right. But I think 5 furlongs at Ascot is what suits Coda time best. And like, he's been running off much higher marks and much better races. So this is probably his first chance of success this season. So Coda time in the 505 at Ascot. All them three will be decent prices now.
Well done, TJ. Lovely stuff. Now then, Niall, I expect you've sussed something for us. What have you got?
Just in the 4:30 Ascot, there's a horse called Glenamoy Lad. It's trained by Michael Wiggum. I obviously fancy one of his in the Bonnard handicap as well. This one, it's just a horse I was following last year. He ran in the Stewards' Cup, where if you watch that race back behind Gifted Master, he was definitely the most unlucky horse in it. Could have possibly won with a clear run, definitely should have been placed. He's actually off £4 lower here. Now, he's had a couple of runs in Maidan, and he just didn't really fire over there. He came back at Goodwood. He finished 6 of 7 behind Green Power. That was after a 180-day break, and I presume he needed that. He really wants fast ground and 6 furlongs, which he gets here tomorrow. I've seen one firm going 33-1. That is a massive price. Glenamoy Lad in the 4:30. The other one was Born to Destroy in the 2:40 in a nursery. He ran at the Goodwood Festival in a race won by Homespin. He was third, but he actually went a little bit too hard that day. He then ran in that good nursery at York. He was 9th of 20 behind Oni Madden, but just things didn't really go his way that day. This is a drop in grade for him, and he's on a good mark. So yeah, that's Born to Destroy, 2:40 Kempton.
And G-Rod, you've printed them all out. What are they?
Yeah, I've only got three, but it's funny because Born to Destroy is on my tracker, you know, and I was going to tip him, but then I just had a few alarm bells go off about the fact that it's around the bend at Kempton and it's on the all-weather. And I mean, that run at York was an absolute massive eye-catcher, and I wouldn't put you off backing Born to Destroy, but that was why I'm not going to tip Born to Destroy, even though he's on my tracker. Anyway, 255. The
255 where?
Navan. I always get in trouble when I say Navan.
That's not how you say it.
No, come on, DJ. How'd you say it?
Navan.
255. Only spoofing. Now, this one last week, I put this up last week from stall one at Sandown, and whether it's a good draw or a bad draw, it didn't end up mattering.
You're getting some grief over that,
weren't you? No, but that's complete nonsense anyway. But whether it was a good draw or a bad draw, it didn't really matter because, I mean, he got absolutely hammered, didn't he? They all came across on top of him, and he had absolutely nowhere to go, and you can completely forget the run. And the case that I was making for only spoofing before that race was that he absolutely must have a stiff 5 furlongs. Now, the stiffest 5 furlongs in Ireland, Navan. So only spoofing for me in the 255, Narvan.
Graham?
Yeah?
You forgot one crucial point that would have added serious substance to your argument there.
What?
He won the race last year.
Oh, did he? Oh, I had no idea. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, does that really matter? I suppose it's a good thing.
That doesn't do any harm, does it?
You're just nothing. After saying how he's going to be suited by the stiff uphill finish at Navan, and he won the race last year.
I take that as a positive, G-Rod.
Yeah, fair enough. 3 o'clock Haydock, so 5 minutes later, once we have one winner, we're going to smash into another one straight away. Tammany for William Haggis. It's the only one of this lot that's entered in the Derby, and had a bunch of Group 1 entries before winning last time out Sandown when defeated that Riot. Now, Riot has got loads and loads of ability, but keeps finding one too good. You know, he's one of these that always runs to a high level, but has a habit of finding one too good. They were 7 lengths clear of Dubai Souk, who was in third. That one's come out and won since. Tammany stayed on really strongly. Looked like he was a real strong stayer. And this is a mile on testing ground at Haydock. He's bred to like some cut in the ground. I think Tammany will win the 3 o'clock Haydock. Last one is at Kempton in the 5 o'clock, Richie Valens. Isn't he a cyclist or something like that?
No.
No? I thought he was a Tour de France. Is it Richie someone else in the Tour de France?
Well, there's been a couple of people called Richie, but no.
You find out who Richie Valence is, because I know I've heard him somewhere. I thought he was a cyclist, but there you go. 5 o'clock, Richie Valence for Richard Hannon.
How do you spell it?
Richie.
Yeah, I know that bit.
V-A-L-E-N-S, Richie Valence. And anyway, this one at Newbury, one at Newbury 2 runs ago. Then last time out, was slowly into stride, got caught up at the back of the field, and made a big move to come through, looked like he might get to the winner, and then the winner, who made all, just found more. I think he just had to use an awful lot of petrol to get to where he got, and he just ran out of steam towards the finish. He did best of those to come from off the pace in that race. Richie Valens in the 5 o'clock at Kempton.
So you think he's a cyclist?
Yeah.
Do you know who Richie Valens is, lads?
Not a Monkees, no.
Yeah, he was a singer. He did La Bamba.
See, he was in there somewhere.
He died when he was 18.
Graham was taking us for a ride there.
Yeah, he was, yeah. He died when he was 18. My goodness, Richie Valens. How about that?
When was this?
1959.
I was born in 1983.
Crash in the Tour de France. I don't know what happened there. Oh, death. Hang on a sec. A plane crash.
Oh.
Awful. Anyway, Richie Valens. Right, we're all done on the roundup. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Now then, lads, we're going to have a nice each-way treble on these three horses, and they are Graham Rodway.
3.55 at Ascot, Cirque Royale.
David Jennings.
Blakely Point, 3.35, head up.
You've got to learn how to say it properly before we can nap it.
Blakely Point.
Blakeney. You say Blakely.
Oh, did I?
That's
Blakeney.
Right.
Blakeney. I thought there was an E in the middle, though. Is it that B-L-A-K-E-N-E-Y, no?
Blakeney. Which big race did Blakeney win in, I think, 1969?
The Derby.
Well done. And Niall O'Reilly.
I guess.
4.10, Haydock, Cadem.
Excellent Cadem stuff. Yep. Well done, lads. Let's do Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway and Paddy Powers, Niall O'Reilly. Looking ahead to some decent action on Sunday for once. And we will start with the big race in Paris. At Longchamp, it's the Prix Moulin. Takes place at 3.10 over a mile. Very, very competitive. Lots of familiar names here. Let's get the latest betting from Paddy Power.
So Roman Eyes are 11-4 favourite. Circus Maximus is 4-1. Phoenix of Spain 11-2. Shaman 13-2. Line of Duty 8-1. Delaware 10-1 and 12-1 bar.
Okay, this is a race, Niall, isn't it? That shows possibly that the mile division this year isn't stellar in terms of quality, but it's competitive, isn't it? Who's your selection going to be?
When you see Roman Eyes 11-4 favourite for this type of race, he's a very admirable type, but he's no superstar really. He's been very disappointing, but I'm just going to take a chance on Phoenix of Spain. He's got no excuse for the last run. The previous run, Lope de Vegas of a poor record at Ascot, I kind of always read into that. I'd forgive him that run. They said he came back sore. He may have needed the Goodwood race. He ran okay, shit, quite well. But if he can get back to anywhere near that curve form, then the 11-2 would look very big for me. Not 100% sure what the grind's going to be like, but if there's a little bit of ease, which there should be in France, yeah, I think that'll definitely suit him.
Who do you like, G-Rod?
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? DJ and I both sat there in the last podcast when Roman Eyes won that Group 1 in France, and we both said, oh, it'd be fantastic if Roman Eyes could win a Group 1 like this, but we just don't think he's quite up to it, but it'd be great for connections, and then he went and did it. And then you look at this race and you think, the same. It would be great if Roman Eyes could then win again in this race. But there's just some sort of alarm bell in the back of your head that goes off and says, Roman Eyes is a good horse, but he's not a real top notcher. But then will he need to be to win this Group 1? It's not the strongest. But I can't bring myself to back him at that sort of price because just in my head, he's not that sort of price to win this sort of race. I would probably take a chance on John Gosden's Kick On, who won at Salisbury last time out, beating Accidental Agent, who is obviously a smart type on his day. And that Flash Card was back in third. That travelled through the race quite nicely. Obviously needs a massive improvement to make it up to Group 1 level. But John Gosden doesn't call his geese swans. He knows when he's got a good horse. And he's throwing this one in at the deep end in Group 1 company. I don't think he'd be doing it unless he thought he was going to run well.
OK, DJ, I fancy Circus Maximus. No, none of you do so far, do you?
Has a big chance. Solid option. Graham was really kind to me there with the whole Roman Eyes talk, because what I actually said about Roman Eyes the last day was there is absolutely no chance in hell that Roman Eyes will be able to give weight and a beating to watch me. And of course, Roman Eyes gave weight and a hell of a beating to watch me. So he proved me wrong. I spoke to Ken Condon during the week on a new shift. Says he thinks he's improved again. And he's set to stay in training next season, which is obviously a plus, because I'd say he's spotted that there's really no good milers around at the moment. So Roman Eyes, if he wins this, you'd be thinking he's one of the best milers around. And, you know, he probably deserves to be favourite, but I just can't back him at that price because I spent my whole life backing him and now he started winning. So I'm going to leave him alone. The one that I think will improve most from Deauville the last day is Line of Duty. My, without doubt, my favourite TV show, even though the most recent series was probably the poorest. But I think Line of Duty shaped as though he badly needed to run. It was his first run since the Derby at Epsom. I think back down over a mile, I thought it was really, really, really encouraging. And I came out of that race kind of thinking to myself, if he goes for the Moulin next, I'm definitely going to back him. So Line of Duty for me.
Do you prefer Line of Duty to Peaky Blinders, DJ?
I do, yeah. I just love Line of Duty. I think Adrian Dunbar is brilliant.
God, that's incredible. Peaky Blinders all the way, isn't it?
I watched about 6 or 7 episodes of Peaky Blinders and then went off it.
Why?
I don't know, I just got bored. I just thought it
bored?
Was, yeah, I just got bored. So, Line of Duty for me.
Where do you stand, Niall?
Not the horse.
Niall, Line of Duty or Peaky Blinders?
Oh, Peaky Blinders. I actually haven't watched Line of Duty, so...
I wish, if I could have one wish on the podcast, it would go back to not seeing Line of Duty yet, so I could watch it all over again.
It is actually criminal, isn't it, that he hasn't seen it yet?
Very good, very good. Right, now some people say that it's criminal how bad the quality of racing is generally in Britain on Sundays, but York have gone some way to redeeming that with a really good card this Sunday, and the highlight there is the 255. It's the LNER Supporting Calm Garraby Stakes. It's over 6 furlongs. Have we got a show, Niall, or are we just going to get the benefit of your wisdom in terms of who's going to win it?
Yeah, just the benefit of my wisdom, Bruce, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's worth more than a show of betting, particularly if you give us the winner.
I was actually checking to see if we had betting, and I wasn't really listening to your conversation. When you said Line of Duty, I thought you were talking about the Godolphin Horse. I was trying to look
well, we were, obviously. That was the lead-in, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I gotcha. The one I like here is Marnie James for Jed O'Keefe. Now, it had its first run for Jed last time behind the Go to Gold in that York handicap. It was a massive eye-catcher. It came from a long way back. And everything else that placed that day was kind of ridden front end. Andrea Azzini takes over from Jamie Spencer here. And yeah, I think it could take quite a lot of beating in what looked a weak race to me.
Have you got the winner of the Garraby G-Rod?
Yeah, Marnie James. This did hurt last time at York.
I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, I was there. You know, and this was my best bet of the day. I gave it to, you know, Rob Watson used to work for us. He lives just by the track, you know, and he said, you know, I was going up to his house actually in the evening to see him. I hadn't seen him and you know, back Marnie James each way. We've got big prices, 25s, 20s, 60s, all the way down to 12s. And it ran an absolute stormer, but it just couldn't get to Dakota Gold. As Niall was saying, it was just one of those York races where the speed was there and they just never came back and Dakota Gold just kept going. But Spencer gave Marnie James a lot to do and he stayed on very, very well to finish second. Now, that was over 5.5. We're going up to 6 here. And I think that he might be able to reverse the form over the longer distance. So it's Marnie James for me as well.
2 for Marnie James. Is it 3 for Marnie James, David Jennings?
Yeah, 3 for Marnie. The worry is that he's never won over 6. All his wins, I think he's had 5 or 6 wins over 5. So just, I know it looked like he badly needed the 6 last time, but that would be a little bit of a concern. But it was a cracking run. And I know on ratings, he's badly in at the weights. But if he was rated 106, 105 a couple of months ago. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. And second run for the stable as well. So it's 3 of us for Marnie James.
Okay, they're also racing at Fontmore on Sunday and it's the start of the Listowel Festival. I think, G-Rod, you're all out of tips now, aren't you? So let's see if the lads over in Ireland have got anything for us at Listowel. DJ, anything?
Yeah, one in the 440 at Listowel, which is the Kerry Group Handicap. Now, it's a good card at Listowel. There's a novice chase at Wicklow Brave in it. So it's a decent start to the festival, which is a proper slog. The drunkest I've ever been was in Listowel when I covered it a few years ago. But in the 440 at Listowel, Ask Susan for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend. I still think there's a big chase in her. I think Listowel on this sort of ground should be perfect. Second to Grey Triangle in a big competitive handicap hurdle at Galway last time. Previously was third to Peregrine Run at Ballinrobe before that and ran well at the Punchdown Festival as well. Just think she's gearing up to win a big race. Hasn't been with Willie Mullins that long. Looks a shrewd purchase. So Ask Susan in the 440.
Are you getting down there this week at all, DJ?
think so, Wednesday and Thursday, yeah, but I won't make the same mistake I made a few years ago. I actually woke up, the only time it's ever happened to me, I don't know if it's happened to you, is I would be quite a sensible drunk. Like, I'm pretty similar now to how I'd be after 6 or 7 pints, but I woke up somewhere, walked outside, had no idea where I was in a hotel, had to go back into reception in the hotel and go to your man, "I'm really sorry, could you tell me where I am?" And he goes, "You're in Ballybunion."
Well, that's funny actually, DJ, because I was about to say I've been to Listowel, but not for racing. And it was because I was playing golf the next day at Ballybunion.
Yeah, gorgeous course. One of the nicest in Ireland, yeah.
It was hard. It absolutely chucked it down with rain and blew a gale, and I got beat up. Niall, what have you got for us at Listowel?
I don't have any at Listowel. I've one in York. Actually, in Listowel, actually quite fancy one in the Listowel Nationals, the Kerry National on Wednesday, called Black Scorpion, if anyone's interested in each way.
Very interesting.
It's got a cracking chance for me. The one in York tomorrow is called Funny Man. It's trained by David O'Mara. The 4 p.m. York. If you have a look at this horse, it's very interesting. It hasn't been at O'Mara that long. It's won for him twice and been third and then second. But if you actually look through his collateral form, there's just winners absolutely everywhere, no matter what race you look at. He's off 77 here in a first-time visor. And the key to him is probably the step-up and trip to 2 mile, because he's been finishing his races out very strongly. This doesn't look an overly strong race to me. And yeah, I think he'll take a hell of a lot of beat.
Okie doke. Weekend plans, G-Rod, what have you got?
I am working all weekend this weekend. So live tips that Saturday and Sunday. Race day live at racingpost.com if you want to ask me any questions.
And you guarantee an answer, don't you?
I try my best.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, DJ. What about you? All work and no play?
Yeah, working in Nav and tomorrow, and I'm on a new shift Sunday, yeah, so busy weekend.
Okay, and what about you, Niall? I bet you're hard at it as well, aren't you?
No, I'm actually going out tonight in Dublin after work, and then probably watch the racing tomorrow, and then the NFL Sunday, so a decent little weekend.
Are you an NFL fan?
Yeah, massive, yeah.
Who's going to win it this year?
I've had 3 bets. The main one's probably the Cleveland Browns, the Cowboys is the other one, and then the Chiefs as well. So, yeah,
really?
3 bets.
So how can the Cleveland Browns possibly win it? Before last season, they'd won 1 game in 2 years. Now, I know that the way the draft works and everything, you're allowed to get good players, and they've got that Odell Beckham guy, but surely not.
Yeah, I think they've got the best roster in football, so I think so. They're big prices, well, they're 16 to 1 or so.
I don't follow American football, but my best mate's first cousin used to kick for the Cleveland Browns. He was called Pat Murray. Would you have ever heard of him?
It rings a bell, right? Yeah.
No, it doesn't. You're just trying to be polite.
No, it doesn't. No.
Do you know what he did? It was unbelievable. We went kicking, because obviously I'm a goalkeeper, so I'd have a good kick. And we went kicking on a Gaelic football pitch, which would be maybe twice the size of a soccer pitch. And he was able to score a point off the ground from the opposite 65, which would be roughly maybe the length of a whole soccer pitch. It was incredible.
Really? And it's the hurling fight. They're replaying the hurling, aren't they? Because there was a draw.
No, that's the football.
Oh, sorry, the Saturday football. So it's Kerry v Dublin, isn't it? Have you got a bet for us on that one, DJ?
I have an unbelievable bet for you in that.
I'll tell you what, no, I'm going to do that thing. I'm going to be a bit clickbaity. You've got to buy the Racing Post to get DJ's best bet for that, okay? Right then, thank you very much indeed, chaps. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you are. If you're watching on YouTube, we'd love you to join in. Post your best bet of the weekend. One of us will have a little look down all the comments on Monday. And you never know, if you nail a big prize winner, we'll give you a shout out on next week's show. Maddie is back on Monday to look back at the weekend and look ahead to more great action, including Listowel Festival next week. And then we're back next Friday for a real blockbuster, because we've got the St. Ledger and we've also got Irish Champions weekend. That should be superb. Until then, we'll see you soon.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.